Good morning, my New Life family, live here with us in church, and also those of you that are watching on YouTube today, joining us through our website. We want to welcome you all in as you join us in service here today, our first Sunday back live in church. All of our family back in New Orleans and other parts of the country, we welcome all of you across the country and around the world even. We're getting reports. And so this morning, I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes from this thought, crisis praying, crisis praying. Well, we know we're in the midst of a crisis, and we've all been praying, and so I wanted to just find a place in Scripture that would really speak to that, and so I want to get to that in just a moment. The Daily Walk writes concerning the chapter that we're going to talk about, and that is 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. The Daily Walk writes this: Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel at that time, faced a crisis. The Moabites and Ammonites were massing their troops in preparation for an all-out assault on the nation of Judah. Jehoshaphat had every right to be afraid, withdrawn, worried, and also indecisive. But instead, his response was exemplary. He gathered all Judah together to seek help from the Lord. And so in an unprecedented national call to prayer, all the men of Judah with their wives and their children and little ones stood before the Lord, a prayer meeting involving every member of the family. And let's read about it in that chapter. You can follow along on the screen, those of you in-house and on your screen on YouTube as well. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And we're going to begin at verse number 12. And it says this: O our God, will you not judge them, judge these armies that are massing against us? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We don't have the power in and of ourselves. Even what we're facing today in this pandemic, what can we do? How can we stop this? No single person can stop what we're facing, this crisis today. And then they said, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes should be focused on the Lord. It's not our might, it's not our power, but it's by His Spirit and by His anointing. Verse 13 says, all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. There's that all-family prayer meeting that we just talked about. In verse 14, he says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. I love that. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel in this time of crisis in Israel's history. We need the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us as well, individually and as a church in this nation. The Spirit of God to come upon us, especially this Pentecost Sunday, to help us get through this crisis that we're facing as well. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, a priest in other words, and a descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. So the Spirit of God, the anointing came upon him, and he stands up in this prayer meeting, and he says this in verse 15, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. I think the Lord is telling us the same thing this morning. Don't be afraid, don't be discouraged because of this vast COVID-19 virus that has spread across the country and around the world. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. Why? Well, he says this in the end of that verse, for the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. Amen? We can't defeat this thing on our own. We're not doctors or nurses or whatever. We don't have the cure for this, but God does. The battle is not ours, but it's God's. Verse 16, tomorrow, he prophesies, march down against them, the armies that are coming against you. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. I love that there's an invading army, And how do you know what direction are they coming from? How do you know when or where they're going to attack? Well, the Spirit of God came upon this priest, and he spoke. This is where they're going to be. And so that's where you're going to find them. Verse 17, you will not have to fight this battle. Now, that sounds like a crazy prophetic word. I mean, you're gathering your army to go out and do battle against these other armies that are coming in, invading your land. But he says, you're not going to have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Again, I think that God may be speaking to us this morning. You know what? Guys, in this pandemic, you don't have to fight this. You don't have to struggle and strive and try to make things happen, you know, around you. You don't have to do this. Just take up your positions. Do what you can. Don't go overboard. Stay in balance. Put your trust in me. Put your hope in me. Don't listen too much to the nightly news, right? You know, don't listen to all those negative voices so much, but listen to the voice of the Lord. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord is going to give you. And I believe God's going to deliver us out of this. Can't give you the day or the time, but I believe that God is going to get us through this. I believe that with all my heart. And so he says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. He repeats that. And then he says, go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. You know what? That's something on a daily basis that I want to encourage us to do. Let's just go out there and face all this tomorrow. Every day when we get up, every tomorrow that we wake up, let's get up, let's go out, and let's face it, knowing that the Lord is with us. Amen? And if God is with us, and if God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 18 says this, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground. After this prophetic word, it resonated with the king of Israel and Judah. And so he bows in reverence to the word that the Lord has spoken through this priest. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. So they saw what their king did. They saw the response of their king, that he was bowing in reverence to God over this prophetic word. And the people followed the example of the king. We're going to talk about that next week in another episode of Christ is Praying as well. Verse 19 says, then some Levites, other priests from the clans of the Kohathites and the Korahites, they stood up. These priests, the anointing was on them as well, and they stood up and they began to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voice. And then early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. He said, tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord's going to be with you. So that's what's happening here. Tomorrow is this, verse 20. Early in the morning, that next morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood, and he says this. The king has a word for all the people as they're going out to battle. And he says this, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. Man, I love that. He had just heard this great prophetic word the day before. And so he tells his people on the day of battle, the day of crisis that has come, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. I want to say that to you this morning, guys. If we just continue to have faith in God, we're going to be upheld. We're not going to go under. We're not going to cave in, but we're going to rise out of this a stronger and better for it. I just believe that. And he says, also have faith in the prophets of the Lord, and you will be successful. Instead of listening to the nightly news and the negative word, let's try to find a prophetic word out there. Let's try to find a prophet of the Lord, a spokesman of the Lord, a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher, somebody that we trust, somebody we know that spends time in prayer and they're doing their best to serve God. Let's listen to those voices and let's have faith in them and we'll be successful. He says, we'll defeat this. Verse 21, I love this. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying this, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." One thing I like about that verse is Jehoshaphat consulted the people. Here he is, the king. He could have mandated all kinds of stuff, but he consults the people. He went to them and had dialogue with his people. And then he appoints men to sing to the Lord and to praise God for the splendor of His holiness. He recognizes that we need help. He already said, we have no power against this vast army that's invading us. So we're looking to God. We're going to trust Him. And so he appoints these men to sing and praise God for His holiness. And they go out in a very uncharacteristic way. Instead of the army going first, he sends the singers out first. So it's like if we're going to go out and have a battle around here, you know, a real army battle, it's like us saying to our praise and worship team, okay, guys, the army is not going to go first. We're going to let you guys go first. Our singers, Kathy, Christine, and Dee, they're going to lead. They're going to go out before the army. And Jim and Jenny and Mike, too, they can go because they're musicians. And so we'll let them join. They'll go first, and then the army comes. Is that nuts or what? That's no way to fight a battle. But that's what they felt like they were supposed to do. And what are they supposed to sing? A song that says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." Well, that's not some powerful thing. We know that we're supposed to thank the Lord, and we know His love lasts forever. We know His love is everlasting. We know it's an enduring love, a never-failing love. What, that's no great news in that. We know all that. But that's what they were told to sing. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. And then look at this next verse. It's so awesome. As they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. It's almost like when you think about the walls of Jericho and the army, what do they do to defeat the city of Jericho? These massive walls, so thick, so high. They walked around the walls once a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, the Lord says, walk around it seven times. And then just yell real loud. You'll hear a trumpet and then just yell. And they did that and the walls came tumbling down. It's a great Sunday school story, right, that we all have learned. And the walls fell, and they defeated the city of Jericho, the powerful, mighty city of Jericho. And it divided the promised land into two sections. They did a great military tactic, divide and conquer. They went in the middle, and they divided the north from the south. And so there was the Israeli army in the middle, and they had divided the country that they were wanting to defeat when they came into the promised land. And now, as they begin to sing and praise, the Lord sets ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, who were invading Judah, and those armies, all three of those armies, were defeated. Let's look at how. Verse 23. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And so after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So Ammon and Moab begin to kill each other after they have helped each other to kill all those from Seir. And so there's the way that God defeated the army. And look at this, verse 24. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert, and they looked toward that vast army that I'm sure a lot of them were afraid of, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. No one had escaped. What did the priest say? The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. You're not going to have to fight this battle. Just stand still, take up your positions, and see the deliverance that the Lord is going to give you today. Isn't that awesome? And so how is God going to get us through all this stuff? We may not know yet, but we know that the battle is not ours. And if we'll just stand still in faith, take up our positions, do what we can, let God do what we can't. We move in the natural, let God do the supernatural. Amen? God's going to come through for us, and we'll see the deliverance that the Lord will give us from this pandemic at some point in the near future. I just believe that. And so let's go a little bit further. He said, no one escaped. Verse 25, so Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder from these three large armies. And they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. I love this too, because I'm sure there were needs in the nation of Judah and Israel at that time. And so all the stuff that those armies left behind was plunder for the children of Israel. Equipment, clothing, articles of value, more than they could carry, more than they could even take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. That's so awesome. Remember, we did a message last year called More Than Enough. God does above and beyond. He does exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think or even imagine. And so there was so much plunder, it took 3 days to collect it. So much abundance, so much overflow. David said, my cup runs over. And that was the case with them on this day. Verse 26, on the fourth day, after 3 days of collecting the plunder, on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Berakah means praise. It's the Valley of Praise. It was named that because of this great plunder, this abundance that God gave them. And they began to praise the Lord for the abundance of his blessings. Verse 27, then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem. Paul asked the people back in the day of the New Testament, he says, what has happened to all your joy? As we look around at people around us today, there are people that are so fearful, people so afraid, so worried, so stressed about what's going on. They've lost their joy. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So maybe you succumbed a little bit to fear, to worry, to panic, to anxiety. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to receive his joy because his joy is our strength. And so after this great victory, the people returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. I believe that God is very soon going to give us cause to rejoice again, for our joy to come back. The joy not only of our salvation, but the joy of living, the joy of just being alive and being able to worship God, serve God, and seeing him improve conditions around us in our nation and around the world. Then verse 28, they entered Jerusalem and they went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. That's what we did this morning. We finally were able to come back and enter the temple of the Lord, his house, to worship together, to just enjoy his presence, to enjoy one another's presence, to see each other's faces, to gather together again and worship the Lord. And so we've come back, and we've come back. We opened up, as we always do, with music, with singing, with worship. And then verse 29, I love this. When all of that happened, God's great deliverance for his people, the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Look at these two verses as we close out. The fear of God, the reverence of God, the awe of God, the splendor of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries all around the nation of Israel when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And then, because of that, the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God, the God of his people, had given him rest on every side. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So if you've come here burdened this morning, and maybe you're out there listening to us on YouTube, and maybe you're burdened this morning, you're afraid, you're fearful, the enemy has attacked you with that spirit of fear. But remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we turn to him this morning. God wants to give you rest on every side. He wants to give you peace of mind. He wants to relax your mind so that your body will relax. And he wants you to trust him. Remember those phrases: faith, not fear; peace, not worry; trust, not imaginations, not all the what-ifs of our minds and our imaginations, but wholly trusting in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Lord, this morning I ask you, in this house this morning, those of us gathered here today, and those gathered here on YouTube watching us across this country and around the world, God, I ask you to touch the hearts of everyone under the sound of my voice this morning. Everyone watching, everyone viewing, Lord, touch individuals, touch couples, touch families, restore joy, restore peace. Lord, give an assurance of your presence, give an assurance of your love. Lord, let them feel and sense, Lord, your presence, your peace, your power, and most importantly, your perfect love, because your perfect love casts out all of our fear. And so, God, move in this place. God, touch the hearts. Lord, meet the needs. Hear and answer prayer. Lord, if there's anyone here today or out in all across this country and around the world, Lord, that don't know you as their Savior, you said if we confess our sin, you'd be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God, do that right now. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us. Wash us. Oh God, come in afresh and anew. Burn away the junk of our lives. Help us to be found faithful. Father, pour out your Spirit this Pentecost Sunday. Pour out your Spirit upon each and every one of us, Father. Lord, may we be drawn closer to you than we've ever been. Lord, meet the needs that are represented, Lord, today. Oh, God, bring healing and health. Lord, spiritually bring healing, physically in our bodies. Heal mentally and emotionally. Lord, restore, Lord, what has been lost, Father. Oh, God, restore all that the cankerworm has eaten away. And then, Lord, heal financially as well. Anyone that's struggling, supply and meet all the needs according to your riches and glory through Christ. And so, Lord, most importantly, just grace us, Lord, daily with your presence. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds safe in Christ. God, we believe you to do it. We believe you to do it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for joining us again this morning. We trust you have a great upcoming week. Be safe, be careful, and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.